Have you ever wondered what life is like for a phone sex operator? Well, you've come to the right place for something a little sexy. Join me, Celine Starr, as I traverse the wide world of sex and sex work in a positive, sexy way. Sponsored in part by the Fable Beard Company, this is Whimsical Sexperts. Hi there, this is Celine, and you're listening to Whimsical Sexperts. This is my second episode, and I want to thank everyone who has supported me and actually listened to my first episode and went through all the trouble to give me a little bit of feedback. I appreciate it so much, and it's been so great. I've met new sex workers and people who want to be interviewed. I look forward to bringing you new content for quite some time. I have a lot lined up, so thank you again for listening. I do appreciate you so very much. This is something I do out of my hobby right now. It's not something that I do for money. So just the fact that people want to hear me, that's pretty empowering. I definitely suggest that you give it a try sometime because it makes me feel really good to know that you guys like me. You really like me. So just to let you know, it has been a few months since I recorded my first episode. I was very timid about even making a podcast episode and what that whole process would be like. And it wasn't until a very good friend who has found some success on YouTube really encouraged me by saying things like, "Hey, when are you going to launch your podcast? I really want to hear what you have to say." Just having that constant motivation to be like, "Hey, somebody really wants to listen," was what launched me into making this podcast public, you know, and really deciding that this is what I wanted to do. So to my friends, Galena and Aaron, I thank them so much. They are priceless, and I will include a link at the end here to their YouTube in case you ever want to hear about. Ooh, Aaron is special. He was convicted of helping with a murder back in, I think it was 1999, and he served almost 18 years in California prisons, including San Quentin. And he even had run-ins with Phil Spector, so he has a lot of really cool stories. I'll include it in case you just want something interesting to listen to. But today, for this episode, I've decided to talk a little bit about the things that I've learned since becoming an online sex worker. Those things were not what I had planned when I first dipped my toes into this industry. Initially, it was just taking sexy calls, but I wanted to branch out. Most of my clients were requesting things like pictures and videos. I find that being varied in the things that you provide, kind of like being a jack of all trades for sex work, has really worked out for me. I have decided in recent months just to focus on phone sex calls, but other things are out there, including making content, making video clips, making voice clips, and not to mention all of the other crazy things that go along with being an online sex worker and the things that you can do. The industry is so varied, and you can freelance yourself into a pretty decent living. And you know why that is, right? It's because everybody wants to get some of what you got. So if you're really good at what you do and you are experienced in different kinks and fetishes, different lines of sex, or if you're just sexy in general and you know it, you can make some money, honey. Yeah, we're going to talk about what I learned as an online sex worker. So the first thing is selling content versus just taking calls. I don't think I even considered that anybody would ever want to buy a picture of me, much less a picture that doesn't show any of my body parts. This is something that was really weird for me to understand, that, you know, these selfies that I take every day, because I am ridiculous that way, people actually want them and people will pay for them. People have paid for them just from the content I offer when I'm not around. I have other responsibilities. I have a full life, including my own kinks and my own partners and my own family, that take me away from sex work. So while I'm away, people can buy my voice bites. They can buy my different pieces of content like selfies, pictures with a little bit more nudity, some risque pictures, and even some video clips. It all comes down to making yourself available for when you're not available. People still want you, and especially people who get really used to you and then they want to talk to you all the time. So I really did, even though I'm an alternative body shape. So just so you guys know, I'm a big girl. I am about 290 pounds right now, and I'm not even afraid to tell you that because I tell people that on the phone all the time. I'm about 5'9", and that is someone's fetish. Like, there are so many people that have a big, tall girl kink that I was really surprised when I was really down on myself and I was like, no, you really don't want to see that. You just think you do. And then I started taking photos and I started sending them out and I started to get feedback and they're just like, wow, you're gorgeous. You're amazing. I think that's because there is someone for everyone and everyone has an appealing shape. They just have to know how to use it accurately to garner attention. So, you know, I can sell content even though I'm a big girl. People want to see me. So if you're bigger and you're considering selling your content, let me encourage you. We're on the rise. Big girls are the way it goes. Men want to see, and even women want to see, soft body shapes, soft feminine body shapes, because they're so appealing. There's so much to touch and so much to love about a larger woman that I fit. You know, I have a place. So if you are under some kind of society's stigma that you're not good enough to take a picture or you're not good enough to sell your content, you're wrong. Just make sure that it's good content. You know, get that confidence to share more. It took me a while, and I'm a fairly confident person. I'm not timid or reserved. In fact, I'm very bold. I am the life of the party, and when I walk out into a scene at a swing club, or if I walk out into a scene at a nightclub or at a party, I make myself the center of attention because I am just magnetic. So if you have a magnetic personality, but you're a little bit self-conscious about your shape, don't be. You know, that magnetic personality shines through you, whether you are a size 2 or a size 30. And that helps you branch out into other platforms. So, you know, the platform that I use primarily for phone sex, it lets me post my content. And yes, I make some money that way. But I was also able to branch out into other platforms like OnlyFans. And I mention OnlyFans right now because you can find me there and I do have a free page. None of it's risque, so you're free to follow me on OnlyFans. And I am pretty responsive, though I'll tell you, Twitter's a little better. And I, you know, got that platform and I started working that platform. And then I started to be like, wow, there are a million other platforms to be engaged with and to put my content on. So there's always an audience for you. No matter who you are or what your thing is, there is a place out there for you to put it. You know, there's ManyVids and Sex Panther and OnlyFans, and that's just a few off the top of my head. There are countless other places for you to put your sexiness out there to make people want you. And once you make people want you, it's almost addictive, that feeling of being in demand. And it does happen. Now, it takes some time and it takes work. So making content and building all of this, it takes real work. It isn't just something you can dabble your toe in and expect to be profitable. It is definitely something that you have to put the time in and make sure that it looks great. A lot of sex workers in general will kind of blow this part off, but make it look good. Make it look real and make it look accessible, and you'll find some success. If you overdo it and you do too much editing and you're just more conscious of the photograph itself and not what you're conveying through that photograph, it doesn't do quite as well. But there's somebody out there for that. You know, there's somebody for everyone. And we get down to when we talk about putting in the work, we talk about doing work ethical things. So before I did online sex work, I worked from home for a large company for a very long time. And what that taught me is how to build a work environment that suits me. So if you're doing this from home, you want to make sure that you have a space for that, that you can be uninterrupted and you can have personal time, whether that be a bedroom or a bathroom, or for heaven's sake, I know some women who even take phone sex calls in their cars because it's the only personal private space they can get to. You'll need a space, and you want to make sure that space is appropriately set up. When I first started, I was just using a bedroom, and the sound of my orgasms crept across the house like Santa Claus on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve. So we had to put in some soundproofing to make sure that anybody visiting or my impressionable child is not going to hear what I do for work, because yeah, it's not that I'm afraid of it, and it's not that I'm not upfront with my 10-year-old about what I do. I don't get into specifics, of course, but I do tell him that I am involved in this industry and that it isn't for him right now because he's a child. So I try to make sure that I'm a good parent and I keep him as sheltered as I can these days. Man, I'll tell you, it is really difficult. Having a workplace in your space, it helps motivate you to go to work and to be at work and to make that money. It's the same as any other job, really. Did you imagine that phone sex operation would be the same as any other job? The more you make yourself focused and accessible, the more productive you're going to be. It's very true. Being consistent, it wins the day. So that consistency helps you to establish a nice broad clientele, and people know when to expect you. I've been really bad about this myself over the past few weeks because I've been working on home automation and getting things clean and trying to make every second available so that I can talk to my clients and be with my family without having to worry about all of the other mundane stuff that goes on around the house, like vacuuming the floors, turning the lights on and off, even turning the TV on. I can turn it on with my voice now. It was a good investment, and it will help me with my consistency later. Anything that you can do to make your life outside of sex work easier, it's going to make making that money, honey, a lot easier, a lot better. If you can, create a schedule that works for you. Make that schedule something that you can stick to, whether that's 2 days a week, 4 days a week, 7 days a week. If you can be on for a few hours every day and you can net a little bit of money, make that your priority, just like any other job. It's hard for me because right now I can work when I want to work. I can pick up the phone and hit a button and suddenly I am in a queue for whoever wants to call me. That's sometimes tempting to be like, well, I don't want to do that today. Or I have X, Y, and Z to do today and I don't have time for that. Well, eventually you have to have time for something. And if you don't make time to build a presence, you won't have one when you really need it. So that's, I should listen to my own story there. But making a schedule, using a schedule, having a set space to do said work, use the digital organization tools that you have in front of you. I make use of cloud spaces, notes, whatever you have to keep track of your business, make it a priority. So spend some time with that paperwork. Make sure you know what your profits are versus your expenditures. This costs money to make money, right? You have to spend a little money in order to make it. And things become deductible when sex work is your business. Things like clothes and makeup suddenly become tax write-offs that you're like, I needed this to do my business, so it has to be part of my taxes. There are so many things to think about on the back end. Keeping track of clients, keeping track of active clients versus inactive clients, keeping track of the money that you've spent out getting ready to be in this environment, in this workspace. I had to invest in clothes and I had to invest in a computer that would work well for me. And I had to just a lot of thoughtful little things. Consider everything before you decide to sit down and be a sex worker. I mean, definitely try it out. See if it's for you. But after that, when you finally decide that this is your business and it's what you want, make it real. Do the work. Put in the time. It will be rewarding, I promise. There are a lot of other things that I had to kind of prepare for when I started this venture. There are a lot of tools that are so useful. Not all of them are required. Really, for phone sex calls, all I need is my phone. So many other things, though, have helped me, like the content making parts of this. You will find yourself putting content out there. Unless you're playing a character and you're not really playing yourself, or you're not really being yourself to your audience, content becomes important. And even if you are being your someone else, like you're playing a role, you can still do audio content. So there's a lot out there that you need. So tools of the trade, basically, are things like a way to stage your camera. Me personally, I have these really silly things that are kind of like a stand on a long slinky wire that I can move around wherever I need them. But I use those for staging my camera, like a tripod, because it's a lot more flexible and it gives me better angles when I need them. So, you know, if I have a client that wants to have a body shot from underneath, for instance, I can maneuver this phone stand to take a body shot photo. And you're like, well, Celine, how do you take a body shot photo from underneath when you're obviously on top of the camera? Well, that's a good question. I'll give you that. That's when you need to have like a hands-free button. They sell them on different platforms, Amazon, Walmart, you know, you name it. These big major companies, they have Bluetooth buttons that will allow you to take a photo. Though, funny enough, I have a hearing issue and I wear Bluetooth hearing aids that connect to my phone, and they hardwire into my volume up and volume down. Now, these remote buttons, they use the volume up and volume down basically to take photos. It's a digital volume up button, basically. So when you click that Bluetooth button, it's taking a picture, but it's also turning your volume up if you have Bluetooth hearing aids or a headset on even. So you want to make sure that when you're taking those photos, you don't have any other Bluetooth items connected, that it's going to transfer that volume to. So a tripod or a selfie snake and a remote button to help you take photos when you're across the room or when you're above the camera, or just when you want to have a more casual, less, I'm holding this camera here, look at my picture. Timers work too, but I find I can never get my body, because I'm a little bit more ample-sized, in the right position within 3 to 10 seconds. Sometimes it takes a little longer than that. So remote button has definitely been a go-to. Sorry to interrupt. This episode is brought to you in part by The Fable Beard Company. Just to let you know, the wizard at Fable has been conjuring up some amazing scents to titillate your fantasy. Let his expertise take you and those close by on an adventure with every whiff. Don't have a beard? No worries. Their lush oil is so fantastic for hair strength and growth. I can't get enough of it on my own hair. So why not give them a shot? You can save 15% by using my discount code SEXANDWHIMSY15. That's SEXANDWHIMSY15 at fablebeardco.com. Once more, FABLEBEARDCO.com. And now back to your episode. Talking about headsets, a Bluetooth headset is really nice to use when you're on the phone because a Bluetooth headset allows you to be hands-free. So it can either be an over-the-ear headset, it can be earbuds that you've connected up to your phone, and that frees your hands up for other business, like making sound effects, playing along with the customer, because sometimes it's fun to play, like I've said in my sex bites. It's fun to play along. It's very engaging to have that person on the other line know that you may be playing along with them, or at least it seems like you are. So hands-free, it's very important. It's one of the things that I find vital in my line of work. And it keeps your headset connected. So say I want to view something on my computer. I had a client that just recently quit paying sex workers, which does happen occasionally. Men are just like, I can't do this anymore. That's all right. Totally understandable. If you found something else for you, please go for it. I did have a client in particular who liked to listen to me while we watched porn, and he would want me to narrate whatever I saw on my screen. And so it was easier for me to have my computer open and to be watching that porno on the computer and having the volume down really low and then listening on my headset to the other line. It's kind of fancy. It's a little bit of a workaround. But it does do a good job of keeping me engaged with a client, but also giving me hands-free to type, to send photos, to look up videos with that client, to share things with them that I would otherwise be kind of stuck on my phone, or I would have them stuck on speaker. And speakerphone is not very intimate for phone sex calls. It's actually kind of jarring and uncomfortable. So Bluetooth headset, stage your camera, get a remote button, have a Bluetooth headset of some sort or a wireless headset of some sort that you can use. And that's very reliable. That allows you to hear so clearly that you don't mistake any word that they say. That happens though sometimes, so don't worry if it does. I also recommend keeping notes on every single interaction, especially when you are a sex worker. You have so many clients that you talk to on a daily basis, and sure, you're gonna have favorites that you remember their names and you remember what their kinks are, but there will be so many that slip through the cracks, and you wanna know when that person calls you that that's who they are. This is what you talked about the last time. And it makes it so different to just answer the phone and say, hi, so-and-so, as opposed to introducing yourself all over again as if you'd never spoken. And that goes for content too. So when you sell content to a particular person, you want to make sure that that person gets that content and that you're not selling them something they've already seen. So keeping notes on every interaction really helps you understand your customer more thoroughly, and it gives you a strong base to continue your business or just to be professionally organized. Now, with that being said, and all of that good information, I want to caution you to know your boundaries. When you do this kind of work, it becomes a real challenge to know when to say, I need a day off, because you have people who need you. Sex work is like therapy. They need you, and they need you all the time, or they need you at least regularly, and they need you to be available on their timeline because it's urgent and they desperately need someone to help them with their orgasm, whatever that may be. We're people too. Sex workers are people too, and we get burned out. We get really tired. I had mentioned in one of my sex bites that one of my experiences made me so exhausted, but I had to keep going. For me, I have a quota to meet. Like, I know that if I make a certain amount of money every day or throughout the week, during the day, I'll be able to pay my bills. And once I hit that goal, I have other things I have to take care of. And so when clients reach out to me outside of that goal, they don't necessarily know that I've hit my goal for the week and I need to take care of other things around my house. They just know that they need to get off and they need to get off right now, which I know may sound really crazy, but in our industry, that's what we work on. That's demand, supply versus demand. There is a high demand. Do I have enough supply to give to that demand? Usually, yes, I can supply lots of phone sex all the time, constantly, but I have loved ones. For me, I have two partners. I have a metamour that lives here. And if you don't know what a metamour is, it is a person who is a partner to one of your partners or your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, whoever, but they're not necessarily your partner. So my metamour is my friend, but I'm not involved with him in any other way. We're just very good friends. We're practically family at this point. And then I have a child that lives here that I have to be very conscious of. So sometimes I have to tell clients, no, I have to have that boundary because my child is homeschooling right now because of the pandemic. So my kid's home all the time. I can't just sneak off and take dirty phone calls all day, every day. Not that that wouldn't be great, but I do have to have time for other things. So be comfortable setting your boundaries. Your life is important. And yes, the work that you do is also important, but don't lose sight of your loved ones and the support that they give you. Even if that support is letting you work during times when it'd be more convenient that you didn't. It is definitely something that you have to set your own boundaries. It's not a 9-to-5. Nobody is giving you this schedule. You have to make it for yourself. So take some time off. Girl, don't work all the time. It's too much. Or boy, don't work all the time. It's too much. Take it from Celine. I want to tell you a little bit about making money, right? This is the important part. Like, everyone wants to know about making money because we all want to be able to see good for our hard work. So sex work is a service industry. You know, even online sex work is considered a service industry. We are there to provide a service to a client and they are paying us for that service. It's just like a therapist or a life coach or a counselor. We're in the same niche. We do different things. So I hope that you understand that intrinsically. Sex work is a service. Now, sex isn't a service when it's from your significant other or from your partner. It's an act of love or an act of lust, an act of desire. For a sex worker, it's our work. It's what we do as a career. That service designation is important. A lot of folks who call me really desire to have a relationship with someone, but it's hard to put in that work. And so that's what sex workers are there for. They're there to make you feel wanted, because usually you are. You know, I want all of my clients. If it were up to me and I was able to provide nurturing care for all of them and have this huge flowering community of sex positive people around me that just wanted to fuck all the time, would be my total dream. But that's not reality. And reality is I provide this as a service because I'm good at it and because somebody needs it. So that is something to line out really like at the very front. So that's why we make money doing this, is because it's a service. A little bit of a stigma around how we make our money, and a lot of people take advantage of the fact that we're there. They just think that the bare minimum is okay. But I will tell you right now that tips are a normal part of our business. Just like waitresses or baristas, we work in a service-based industry. That service-based industry, though we are making a little bit more money, tips make our lives so much easier. You want to get a girl's attention or a boy's attention that's a sex worker? Tip them. Tip them generously. You will find that they will respond to you usually much quicker in a more favorable manner. It's just like waitressing. You know, if you have a good waitress and you tip her really well, like I'm talking really well, and you walk in the door, they remember that you were there. If this becomes a regular habit for you, they remember you and they provide better service for you. It's more friendly, it's more accepting. The same thing goes with sex work. If you provide your sex worker with a generous tip, they remember that. Sometimes it's what they need to make their day. Sometimes maybe that sex worker hasn't had any other interactions that day and they desperately need that tip that you're giving them. So it is a normal part of our industry, and it's a part of the service industry as a whole. And it isn't because we get paid less or we're not getting paid quite as much. It's just because our industry is a demand-based industry. So if nobody has a demand for my services, or say I'm available at an odd time of the day when people just aren't calling, that person who tips me is definitely going to make me feel much more grateful that they called. And I'll remember that the next time they give me a call. Tips should be normalized, and it should be an expected practice. So normalize that idea that tipping is acceptable. We deserve it. We work really hard. Some of us, like myself, put in a lot of extra work when it comes to your fantasies. Tips are a normal part of our industry. I have some clients that I spend hours on. You know, I've made specialized contracts for them. They're not real contracts, but it gets them going. Like, it makes them remember, and they get off just reading through all of these lines of how devoted they're going to be to me. You know, that takes me time. Or I have other clients that will demand that I take photos in a certain position or with certain types of clothes on. Or maybe they'll want an audio of me saying certain things. I have another client that I just work through affirmations on. I've never spoken to him. I've been on the phone, but it was a silent call where I have to do all of the narration. So when you're talking 10, 15 minutes of unstructured call time, that is lengthy. It takes time. So tips are nice. Tips make up for all of that extra time that we spend on you outside of just your normal interaction or your normal call or even just your normal content purchase. It's okay to ask for tips. So if you're a sex worker and you're listening to this podcast, it's okay to ask for tips. You are providing a service for your client. That client wants more than the session initially started as. It's okay to say, hey, while that sounds really great and really sexy, it's a little bit out of what I have the ability to do right now. Or if you want this particular thing, I'll need you to tip me for it. I like to use the words tribute because I am a goddess type. So tribute or devotional or some trigger word that I have worked out with a client that lets them know that this is beyond what they're paying for. There are services that I offer that cost more than just calling me on the phone. I'm not specifically obligated to provide anything for anybody for free. I do, because there are clients that I genuinely like, and I do get a little bit caught up with being too nice, which I talked about in my first episode. And that's where we need to get into a thing that Celine doesn't really practice as much. Don't undersell yourself. Honey, you're worth it. Don't undersell yourself. Know when to give things away and know when to sell them. There is a statement there. Know when to give things away and know when to sell them. You have to give to get. So when you're first starting out, it is a good thing to be generous and to provide more than what you would normally expect from an interaction because you want to make an impression. But don't make it a habit. Find your niche. Find your clients, your base, make sure that you're not giving everything away for free. I'm not discouraging you from interacting with your clients in a way that makes you feel more personally connected to them, because that definitely helps. That personal connection keeps them coming back for more and more and more. I'll tell you, people want to be cared for, and we do care. But at the same time, make sure you're not underselling yourself. Make sure that your clients are paying you equally for the service that you're providing, because it is a service. You're worth it. You're worth it, and your time is worth it, isn't it? It doesn't matter if it's a set of photos that you took 6 months ago. You spent time and effort making those photos. That's your product. That's what you're selling. Don't fall into that pit where you're just like, oh, this is just a picture and I could take another one. That isn't the point. The point is that this is your business and you're the product, but you're also the service. You're worth it. So to make that money, honey, you gotta be worth it, and you gotta give some of it away. Just make sure you're not being too generous. Don't listen to Celine. Celine is very generous. Celine has trouble keeping her sexy, salacious photos to herself. Trust me, I've been trying. I hope that you have had more success than I have. So the last thing I want to talk about today in this podcast episode is confidence. I know for so many people, it's not just me, right? I'm not the only person out there doing sex work, of course. I might be one of the only people that are like here talking about it, which is not true. There are lots of other sex work positive podcasts. I just kind of brand myself as a jack of all trades because I want to include everything. I want to tell everyone about everything in the sex work industry because it's so fascinating. But what I needed when I started this work was confidence. Everybody needs confidence to do this work. Everybody needs confidence even to call a sex worker. So if you're a client and you're calling in, you kind of have to have that comfortable, just confidence to pick up the phone and dial. And I've never struggled with this. I have always been good at being self-confident and having that winning outlook, like I am going to conquer this thing that I have determined to conquer. That's not constant. You suffer some days where you're very self-conscious, where you're like, I don't want to take a shower. My hair is dirty. I don't want to change into something sexy. I want to wear my frumpy sweats and my slouchy socks, and I want to shuffle around the house like an ogre and not do anything today. But that is where I have to have my own self-talk. The feeling of confidence comes after the actions of confidence. I have to tell myself that all the time. You cannot be a confident person without having the actions of confidence to back that up. If you're struggling with your confidence, you're very self-conscious, you don't think anybody wants to look at you, you don't think anybody wants to talk to you, whether you're a client or a sex worker, you have to put that into practice. So you must act confident before you are confident. This is not some self-help mumbo jumbo. This is actual fact. If you cannot act with confidence because you are unconfident, you have to pretend, make it up. If you don't have a wild imagination, at least picture the most confident person that you know. Put yourself in their shoes and say, well, how would Celine deal with this? How would my best friend deal with this, who can garner everyone's attention at a party or whatever that needs to be? Your confidence is there. You have to nurture it, though. You have to act confident before you are confident. You need time to be a better actor, and you need to practice. Practice confidence. Instead of saying, I'm ugly today, even in passing, even if it's in jest, say, I look pretty fucking fabulous, and I'm gonna own this day no matter what happens, and I'm gonna stomp down all the demons that pop up I'm going to make sure that I am walking with confidence. That self-pep talk, sometimes all you need. If those things don't work very well for you, all I can really tell you is to at least put forward a face of confidence to someone. Don't ever say, I don't know. It's okay to say, I don't have the answer, but I'll find the answer for you. Not in those words particularly, but having that false sense of confidence makes a real sense of confidence if you work at it. This is something you have to put into practice all the time. And I still have days where I don't feel very confident. I don't want to be involved and I just want people to leave me alone. And those days are fine as long as they don't become the whole point of your day. But there's a client base for you, no matter what size you are, what type you are, what kinks you have, what special fetishes you cater to, or what desires you may have. There's a base out there. There is a person who will desperately give money to speak with you because you're amazing. So don't let yourself get in your own way. Be a better, confident person. And I give you this advice because I live with people who are less confident than I am. And I have lived with people who are less confident than I am. I had a girlfriend several years ago who was my nesting partner. Nesting partner in polyamory means a partner that lives with you, has that live-in personal relationship with you. And she was my partner for 4 years, and she made me feel terrible every day, all the time. She would tell me that my personality was too big, that my confidence was too much, and that I wasn't entitled to that much confidence about whatever it is we were talking about or whatever experience we were making. That's not true. My personality isn't too big, and neither is yours. Your personality is just fine the size that it is right now. But what you have to do is be confident enough to put that out into the world. Not worry about what people say, and not worry about what people are going to think of you being a confident person and owning your own experience. So there is a client base out there for you, regardless of your confidence structure. And in fact, there are probably a lot of them. So I wouldn't worry too much about who's going to watch or listen to you. I would be more concerned about how you're going to present yourself to the world so that you can keep them coming back for more. That's my episode for this week. Thanks so much for listening. I did mention that I wanted to pump my friend's channel here in my podcast. And what you can do is go to YouTube. Their channel is actually, it's a video documentary style where my friend Aaron sits and he talks about these different experiences that he's had. But all you have to do is go to YouTube, hit the search button, and type in California Convictions. California Convictions will bring you right to Aaron's playlist, like all of his videos. And he has some rollicking good stories about what happened in these prisons, how he experienced it, how he worked through that, what his life was like, and what it's like now that he's out. I am so very impressed with him and his life and how he has adapted to life on the outside. Even though he was never made for life on the inside, he's come out of it so much stronger and such an amazing person. So I highly recommend it. California Convictions on YouTube. Go give it a search. I will include the actual link in my notes for this podcast. I hope that you get some good enjoyment out of all of his different stories and anecdotes. He's got some funny ones. But other than that, I'm so grateful, like I said, to everyone who's listening, everyone who's given me positive feedback, and I've even appreciated the constructive feedback that I've received from a lot of my people who've listened to this podcast. So thank you so much. You should expect a regular episode, hopefully every Sunday. If I'm going to have to miss a Sunday, I'm going to try to give you a heads up, but we'll do our best. We're going to try this whole thing out together. Thanks for working with me, and thanks for listening. Thanks for listening in. To get regular updates, exclusive content, and to engage with me directly, find me on Twitter at sexandwhimsy. That's the at symbol and then SexAndWhimsy. Share this with your divergent friends, as each episode is completely free and easy to find on any platform that you use to listen to podcasts. As a quick reminder, this podcast is sponsored by the Fable Beard Company. Remember, you can save 15% on your order by using my code SexAndWhimsy15 at FableBeardCo.com. If you find yourself wanting more, come join me every Sunday for a new episode. Let me know you've listened in by tapping in on Twitter or WhimsicalSexperts.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you have a sexy and salacious day.